Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale, of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. That was a hot one.
Oh, no. I think that's sort of a reference to today's Sink the Beagle. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted
looks. Yeah, we both do.
We look at serious issues of evolution and creation because, hey, folks, that's the only way we can do it. We're hot today. We're both on fire.
We're on fire. We're on fire for creationism today. And yes, we are going to talk about a hot topic.
Hot, controversial topic.
Turn it up a little bit.
Turn it up. It's going to turn up the heat here. We're going to make it sizzle where you are before the day's over.
We are going to talk about, yes, that very, very popular subject of which movies are often made of, spectacular catastrophe movies. Where it actually kind of looks like the flood in some of them.
Well, yeah, it's the opposite of the flood. It's actually Al Gore's favorite topic.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that would be
global warming. Getting warming here. Half a degree this year, you know.
That's right. Time magazine came out with a special report some time ago about global warming, and it said, be worried. Be very worried.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Yes.
It's coming. Can't you feel the heat now?
Did you see that movie? I saw it in Costco the other day. That's the easiest place to see it when they have all these big screens showing this video. What was the title of the movie? But it was this one where recently, a fairly new movie about global warming gone crazy, and it melts all of the,
I don't know the title.
Polar ice caps and the glaciers and everything. And New York City basically goes under.
That would be nice. Sweet.
No. Think of all that new beachfront
properties.
They had to charge more rent.
Change the little rent district. Wouldn't
takes
it?
Out
it
crime.
Improved. And see, that's New Jersey the thing. People would really like the upgrade of their property values.
And see, you think, and that's it. You see, we always think of global warming as a bad thing.
No, actually, I think that you and I have a different idea of what global warming is. But let's just go carry through with some of the basic issues that people look at when they think of global warming.
And of course, this is a big hot topic because it enters into politics and everything else. But global warming, for a while, it would be fair to say that for a while, creationists and conservatives have had a tendency to doubt the scientific data that was coming in about supposedly temperatures rising around the world. And certainly the evidence that came from melting glaciers and polar ice caps and so on, I thought was fairly substantial. And I think for the most part now we are, I would say, 90% past whether we are agreeing or disagreeing that it's happening. Now it tends to be more in the subject of who's causing it. Is it natural? Yeah, the cause?
Well, we know
is
in
it
the past,
people or whatever,
Yeah, we know in the past, Stan, when you study history, there were times when we were kind of going through global cooling or even a mini ice age.
Yes.
Scientists think that from about 1300s to 1800s, you basically had a global cooling that was going on, and the Earth was actually getting colder and colder.
Okay.
And you had bigger glaciers, everything else for that 500-year span.
Mm-hmm.
But since about 1800, the Earth seems to be warming up some, and they say that the average temperatures have probably gone up 1.2 degrees over the last 200 years.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean, that's hot, man.
Okay.
Depends where you live. But no, what they want to do is they like to link that. Well, what's changed since then?
Yeah. What's the difference?
What's the difference and
what's
the cause?
Going on?
What they would like to point to as the cause is SUVs.
Yeah, I think so. Those big Chevy Escapades and all that
you
kind of thing,
You got it.
And that tends to be, and politically correct views today would say, if you're
the industrial
serious,
revolution and the work of man.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not here to argue up that up or down or anything, but
I tend to think it's phony, but that's okay. I tend to think that where's the greatest source of heat for our entire planet?
Politics?
Yeah, the sun.
Oh, the sun. Yeah,
the
that's
sun.
Right. Okay.
I think the sun and solar flares and things like that probably have a whole lot more to do with these kinds of things than we can really measure or account for. Mm-hmm. Maybe we've been in a tenser period of solar flare. A lot of climate scientists actually think that it has maybe less to do with greenhouse gases.
Yeah, they've always said greenhouse gases are what they
tend to
say.
That it has to do with maybe a solar activity over time, and we're in a seasonal, we're in a fluctuation of warming and cooling. The Earth always warms and cools in large blocks of time, and seem to be able to be measured in those times.
Well, since the 1880s, greenhouse gases, certainly carbon dioxide, has increased maybe 30% in the atmosphere, and they've tried to duplicate things in greenhouses, you know, with gas like this. And I think that maybe one of the ways in which the word greenhouse effect is kind of stuck in these experiments. They call it greenhouse gases.
But they did them in greenhouses and discovered it there.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, so with that kind of background,
I always thought it was the diet of those running the greenhouse that changed the gases in the with the methane
the
levels.
Veggies? Oh, okay.
But anyway.
Well, you know, the point is there has been a little bit of evidence of temperature rise, and sometimes simulations rise 3 to 10. Yeah, I live in the Northwest, and a couple more degrees wouldn't hurt.
No.
And, you know, and I've often wondered, I've never seen studies about, would this be a good thing if you suddenly have, like, let's say central Canada or northern Canada have longer growing seasons, you know, maybe it provide, or Russia.
Siberia. I mean, Siberia becomes a nice place for
maybe
resort property. Who knows?
Well, maybe there'd be an ability to farm more land that currently can. But that's just
the thought. And if we lose a couple of cities on the East Coast in the process, hey, what's the big deal?
Well, certainly through the history of the planet, there have been some cycles up and down temperature-wise. And we think here on Sink the Beagle that the Ice Age, in fact, did happen. Except we would place the Ice Age the first couple of hundred years after the flood, as the world was sort of, shall we say, adjusting to new conditions post-flood, including perhaps a tilt of the Earth. There's both evolutionists and creationists believe that the Earth has tilted on its axis some. We think it happened quickly, and the evolutionists think it took many millions of years, but we believe that may have contributed very much to the change of temperatures and seasons. Remember, the Bible says that after the flood, and there were seasons and so forth.
And the seasons were probably more extreme because of the tilt, whereas before and with the situation before, seasonal adjustments were minimal in comparison.
Mm-hmm. And suddenly the amount of water and the oceans and everything contributed heavily to different climate changes. And we believe that the Ice Age did, in fact, happen. But it was just a few hundred years as the world was kind of, in essence, settling down, shall we say, from the effects of the flood.
Yeah.
And to some extent, even now, some of these cycles of cold and warm, as you talked about, like 1300s or whatever to 1800s, maybe simply just still some of the last vibrations of the Earth trying to kind of settle down after the flood.
Yeah, and one thing, too, you also have that would argue for the non-global warming, it seems to be, is that when we talk about fluorocarbons in the upper atmosphere destroying the ozone and other possible related issues, the reality is that a volcano like Mount Pinatubo, when it explodes, sends up more fluorocarbons and gases than all the industrial activity and pollution of man since 1800.
Wow.
One volcano.
This one volcano.
You know, when you have – so we need to be very cautious on how we throw our science in.
Yeah.
Obviously, human activity maybe have contributed somewhat. We can't deny that.
Yeah,
but
can't
to the
deny
point,
it.
But to the point to say it's the cause, and thus you may have to take extreme measures to save the world, forecasts and extremism isn't the way to go. But
right.
We here on Sink the Beagle Stand believe that this world is really going to get real hot.
Well,
I mean, we're not
as
talking
we were
a
thinking
hot.
About this, and of course, as Christians, we do believe in global warming in the strictest
we
sense.
We say bring it on to the level it's going to come.
And I'm looking forward to the ultimate day of global warming. It's called the Day of the Lord in the Bible. And I have a torpedo text from 2 Peter 3, verse 10. It says this, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire."
That's hot.
"And the earth and the works that are upon it, the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up.
So the Bible predicts that, hey, it's you think it's hot now. You just wait a little bit. just hold on there now. We're gonna turn it up a little bit.
And when we're talking about the day of the Lord there, we're talking about a judgment scene and something of a revisit of the flood in the sense that it was a day of judgment, a day of destruction. A day of destruction and a day of cleansing of the earth.
You know, it's interesting when people... This kind of relates to, this is where we're going to probably step on a few theologies today, if you excuse me, but I tend to think that my God concept demands that the God we serve is first and foremost a God of love.
Yes.
And God must come and put an end to a world of sin and suffering, because it would be not loving to allow sin and suffering and people mm-hmm. to suffer forever.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so God says he's going to come.
Yes.
He's going to destroy the wicked and put an end to suffering. And God, we often... People misunderstand the scriptures. They like to put hell as exclusively a place that's going to be just fire and heat forever and ever.
Uh-huh.
And no one knows where that place is. And I've been to some funerals where people are always preached up to heaven. I've never heard about the rascal who's always been, you know.
Everybody seems to make it, don't
Everyone
they?
Seems to make it. I mean, the billion and one odds that he makes it, we put him right in there, you know.
The wife beater, whatever, he seems to make it.
But the trouble is, I don't think hell is so much a destiny as far as a place that we abide, but it's a tool of God to cleanse the earth from wickedness, and he uses it a couple times. It's a tool mm-hmm. in God's hands. It's a strange tool that he has to use.
It's a strange act.
Where he uses it as a tool to destroy wickedness and sin.
And the word that is often used is a word of cleansing. And it's interesting that Jesus is spoken of as someone who will baptize with fire. You remember John the Baptist said that, I baptize with water, but there comes one after me that baptizes with fire. And if you think about it, the two great cleansing agents of God is water and fire. Water does it pretty good, but fire is complete. And fire is what God eventually will cleanse the earth with at the day of the Lord, when he just cleanses. Says even the elements will be dissolved. We're talking about an atomic heat here, maybe a fusion type heat, in which we're really talking hot here. Talk about global warming.
The interesting thing is that what you really need in that all is fireproofing.
Fireproofing, yes.
And the fireproofing, we've seen evidence where fire doesn't seem to affect but actually help God's saints. And, you know, the interesting times when fire came down from heaven, the days mm-hmm. of Elijah, it consumed that altar, that sacrifice.
Yes.
But fire came down in the days of shortly after Jesus left, 10 days after he left, fire comes down from heaven again in cloven tongues and rests on disciples.
Exactly.
They have
fire of the Spirit.
The fire of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. They get baptized in the Spirit. They proclaim the gospel of God.
Mm-hmm.
But God does say about a day is coming when he's used fire again, much more like the days of Elijah when it comes down and consumes the world in mm-hmm. the day of the Lord. So mm-hmm. it's his agent, and I think saints are just fireproof. The Bible talks about in the Old Testament, who can live among the eternal burnings? That's a description of God as an everlasting heat and fire. He's described as a hot God.
Yes.
And when
yes.
the hot God comes, those who are
whose faith, God is a burning fire. Yes.
Those who have a fireproofed faith, so to speak, can withstand the brightness and the glory of his coming mm-hmm. because they have a part of them that responds to the nature and character of who he is. This is kind of maybe metaphorical language, but, respects.
Fire is either going to burn. Remember, fire is ultimately something that cleanses, and it will burn sin. Now, if you want the sin to go, you want the sin that's in your own life to be removed and cleansed, then God's Spirit will burn that out of you, so to speak, prior to God coming. In other words, sort of the fiery sufferings and trials of this life, it has a cleansing effect if you let it happen. Otherwise, if you cling to sin, or when God does eventually burn the sin, it'll burn you too.
Yeah, we have examples like the three Hebrew worthies in the Old Testament in the days
right.
of Daniel. Throw them in the fiery furnace. If our God wants to save us, he can save us. And we want to let you know, listener, that he is able.
And so, he will be with you in the fire, just like Jesus was with those worthies.
So tune in again on another Sink
the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile. From seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.